It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast, episode number 344. I am your host, Justin Wersch, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, TheKevinMiller.com.
Yes.
Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Likewise, Justin.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hold down R2 and then tap square and then hold down R1 and clap on circle. Isn't that how you play your DC Universe Online?
Pretty close. Pretty close. So, you know what's more involved is Arkham City. So much to talk about.
We haven't done a show in so long. And on the Facebook page, people are like, where's the show? And I realized for the past month, we've had a show out on Tuesday morning at midnight because we've been backlogging them. And so
they're asking for the show today.
They figured, as rightly they should.
I wonder if we should start releasing them on Wednesday morning.
That's what I was going to say. So, but we'll hear the angry for that.
Wednesday morning it is, folks.
Done.
Well done. Let's jump right into some emails and because we got a lot that we went through.
First, I want to tell you a story.
Oh, okay. You got me. Hook, line, and sinker. I was like, oh.
Here we go.
I was so, like, I don't know why I bit so hard on that.
Especially since we spent so much time in the beginning, like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah, we can do this.
21 emails. I do want to say this. If y'all aren't listening to the Dad Podcast, you really should.
Really?
I've taken to it. I'm a fan of you, so I'm a fan of half of it. But Bill's a pretty funny guy. Went and saw a show with you at Flappers last week and was impressed by his natural skill and talent. And can you have natural skill? Sure. I mean to say that he's not skill-less, but he had never done
stand-up before. And I did, I would say, a way above average job for having never walked on a stand-up stage.
That's what I was going to say, is that it's not like he hasn't done something like that. Yeah. He's certainly, in his years of improv experience, been thrust at the stage and said, be funny by yourself, go.
Yes. Yes.
So he wasn't incapable. But this isn't about Bill Glass. It's about the Dad Posse. Yeah, listen to that guy. You should listen to that show. If you like this show, there's no reason why you shouldn't like that show, because it's this funny, but with Bill Glass.
And if you just like, you know what, I got enough podcasts in my life, you can go back to, I think it was the last episode that we did last year. It was right before we switched to the video game format.
Because you're almost done to 2 years.
It was 2 years ago.
Because you're on episode 90-something now.
Yeah, wow. I do a lot of podcasts. I like to talk. I love doing this. I really, honest to God, love doing both of these shows. It's a lot of fun. I wish, I honestly, completely, down to the deepest part of my soul, wish I did not create two lives so I could spend more time with you guys and your lives on Facebook and talking, because I love our listeners.
Oh, create your son's lives.
Yeah, I wish I could find some kind of agency or something. I'm sure they have some kind of government-funded thing. I feel like I'm very loud. I'm sorry.
The problem is that you care too much. But yeah, there's a question in here about podcasts.
About my children or about these guys?
About both. And so let's talk more about podcasts. Okay. So that's like a little teaser.
Oh.
See, that's how we do things here.
All right.
Also, by the end of this, somebody will get another rubber ducky.
What? There's another one? You know that my children love the rubber duckies, right?
No,
you can't just give them all away.
They like rubber duckies, not rubber duckies that you've flattened and hated.
Yeah, I don't know. I still haven't figured out why that happened.
You haven't looked on the Facebook page, but that confused the hell out of people when I tried to tease that and say that, oh, big scandal coming. Tune in to find out the first response. What? This is pretty clear. Read an email.
Internet bits. This one comes to us from Lane. He says he was watching TV this morning, and I found this awesome commercial for PlayStation. I freaked out when I first saw it because it is just plain awesome. And he's talking, I think this one, so you know, Lane, got posted on our Facebook page a while back, but it's the one where these two World War II, am I right, soldiers come walking through the forest and they find a bar and it's got like Snake is in it, Nathan Drake is in it. And it's all these guys, and then they've told these stories of how their video gamer has taken them through these adventures, and you know what I mean? And Cole is in it, and he says how he's like, he found the good in me when no one else did, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's really, really, it gave me goosebumps when I watched it this time again, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's a very well-done commercial, and worth doing a YouTube search for. I should look to see what it's actually called. Sony PlayStation 3 commercial, Long Live Play Michael. So that's the one you want to look for, because it's hard for us to play the videos, I think, over an audio medium.
Well, and the video... The audio will not do it justice.
Yeah, because it's live action. There's this great moment where Snake is like listening to one of the other guys talk, and he leans up against the wall, and his suit changes to camo with the wall. It's a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, really,
the video is.
It's like all the marketing guys got out of the room, and then it was just the video gamers that were like, "Hey, listen, this is what people are going
to
like.
This is what I want. Yeah. I want to see Tatooine with all my characters."
Exactly. Anyways, this is my first email to you guys, and I hope you read it on the show. Mission accomplished.
And on to the next email.
The show is just amazing. I listen to you guys all the time, and because of you, Creed now plays my favorite song. And I'd like to thank Kevin for commenting on my fan art. As a huge Sly Cooper fan, after I got your feedback, I ran over to my brother and I was like, "Dude, the voice of Sly Cooper likes my art." And my brother just looked at me like, "Really?" He thinks it's weird that I'm a girl and I like to play video games. Or maybe because I'm better than him.
Bam!
Well, gotta go to school. Okay, bye, Lane. Thank you for the email, Lane. This next one comes to us from Brandon. It says, "Hi, Justin and Kevin, for all the emails I've sent in today, but this will be the last one for the day anyway. I posted on the Facebook wall a good idea for a Sly 4 collection edition and thought you would be interested in it. What if they made an art book and made it look like the Thievius Raccoonus? Thanks for reading." What if that?
I love that idea. I liked in how if you own the first three games, well, the only three games, but for the PlayStation 2, the instruction manual looked like the Thievius Raccoonus. It said Thievius Raccoonus on the outside. And then every time it was released, the book got more tore up.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, so like the second one, there's more tears, and by the third one, it's like being held together with Band-Aids and tape and stuff. It's pretty great. But I always thought
like
that's...
the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah, but with the Thievius Raccoonus. But I think that I'd love to see more stuff. Like, why aren't there books for Sly that look like the Thievius Raccoonus? It just seems like...
Here's what I feel like. Everybody that I talk to that is in any way, shape, or form into video games loves the game, but for some reason it doesn't... It hasn't hit that next level of like Halo or...
I think because it's like where the market of video games have gone. And I'll bet if we had a developer here, they'd probably tell you, the real AAA and quadruple A and five times A games are in the adult games like Halo, games like Assassin's Creed, Uncharted. We want to play these adult content type games, not adult as in adult entertainment, but just adult grade entertainment games, and these games like Sly or Jack and Daxter are fun, beloved, even Mario, but they definitely have this like little brother kind of feel to them, and they don't have the mass appeal that they once did.
Like to a grown-up gamer, I feel like they're almost like guilty pleasure television. Am I right?
I would say
it's not fair because The Real Housewives of Atlanta is horrible television, but I do think like those Ratchet and Clank, those kinds of games,
I think
are good games.
Also, that the game is physically geared towards a younger audience. So it is achievable by a younger audience at a medium level difficulty, and that is just going to drop its interest level, I think, automatically, because you can pick up Arkham Asylum or Arkham City and reduce the difficulty level, and I can be 8 years old and play it through if I have parents that'll let me, but I could be 33 and pop that game in front of me, keep it on normal, and be challenged and entertained.
Yeah,
I don't think that most people that are going to sit down in front of Sly are going to be into cartoons, are going to be into that kind of madcap comedy.
So it takes a real hardcore fan, almost like that,
because
creates that niche.
Because it's people that have to be into it. Because you look at the movies that sell, what are in theaters that make the tons and tons of money? The movies that are approachable to a mass audience. They got some action, got everything, and you see that in the movies, in the games that are selling really well. Infamous, Uncharted, Portal. It's about the same sort of genre. But then I say that, and I know that Pixar does really well, and everybody loves them, but they're kind of a thing on their own.
An anomaly, I think, in a lot of ways.
And then Cars 2 happened, so their streak was ruined.
Dear Second Funniest Podcast, couple of things. I'm currently getting my Sly Cooper tattoo as I type this. It feels pretty painful.
Really?
Getting the logo on my upper back like a cholo this guy is rolling.
We've got to see this.
All right. Now to the main point.
How are you writing an email and getting a tattoo?
Well, I mean, it shows in his typing. I'm fixing up a lot of... No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There's a lot of owls.
If he chose a font that shook. All right. Now to the main point that I think people that love Sly Cooper franchise are going to freak out over. During the interview, and we saw this, the GameSpot interview with, Glenn from Sanzuru?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A description of the thing Sanzura. Sly Cooper stole... Stole and Sly Cooper Thieves in Time show up, and the game director talks briefly about them. If you pause, it says, This sold dragon claw grasp a gigantic perfect pearl, a symbol of wisdom. The claw is made from a mysterious compound, perfect for reconstructing a mechanical owl. Also, right before the actual gameplay in debug mode starts, if you pause, it says, break out, collect the armor pieces, enter the prison, meet Ryoichi, use the samurai armor.
Ryoichi.
I'm sorry. As a disguise, use the samurai armor to block fire, navigate through the prison trap, steal the key, open the gate, cross the bridge, armor, tutorial one, free Ryoichi. So if this is in the video game, obviously they're not keeping it secret, and it's obviously open for discussion. Please let us know, signed the man of the hour.
Okay, we got two things.
He's very proud of himself with this email.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, I would be. First of all, hardcore getting the sly tattoo.
Yeah, right?
You should have gotten it to look like the Thievius Raccoonus, though.
Wow.
That would have been awesome.
Wow. I would like him to get Bentley and Murray, and like, you know, where the ladies will get a tattoo on their pelvis. I want them to get them. I want to get them down there. You know what I mean? Get them down there, making sure they know what they're guiding the hideout, if you know what I'm saying.
My wife wants to get a tattoo. Maybe I can convince her to do that. Okay. I couldn't take her seriously.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
No way.
They're like,
no way.
Why do you have Chris Murphy?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
That's what would happen every time she steps out of the shower. Hello, Kevin.
I am editing a lot right now.
I'm closer to your wife than you can ever be.
Let's move on.
What happened? What happened?
No, I was.
Are we worried about pasty lady faces?
No, I'm just worried about. You fed me two margaritas tonight.
Let's do this.
It's all going to come
Let's
barfing
do
up.
This.
It's going to be the third time you've ever had to edit something out of a podcast. Two things about that list. Number one, I think that they put those things in there and let it be exposed so that you super fans, like the folks that listen to the show, the folks that hang out at the Sucker Punch forums, have something to nibble on because you're so desperate for a release date or more information. And they let that stuff be out there knowing that you're going to see it, knowing that you're going to freeze every frame in a video with them until you can get the right resolution and read it. They do it. They're not dumb. So they left it there as a cookie to give you something to nibble on. But I will say this, they're not locked in stone. Like, it's not like a film where you shoot a scene and that's the scene. There's nothing stopping them from changing the artwork, changing the text on the
screen.
They
come up with an idea that they like, that makes Ryoichi no longer needed, then Ryoichi is gone.
Ryoichi goes away.
So the samurai armor.
And the clockwork reference, everything. gone. Or... They make
so when
it
you
better.
Make that, that's a samurai sound effect. So that part will definitely stay.
Well, if
in order to get rid of the clockwork,
it's already gone.
Okay.
That's a samurai removing himself.
God, oh,
it's actually another samurai removing the
that's
first.
That's a samurai.
Samurai
Harry Carey. What's it called when the samurai kills himself for honor?
It's like the sound of a tree falling in the woods on Mars.
I've heard it. I've heard that. It's on YouTube. Search it.
So I say all that to say, don't get your hopes up too high. I don't have any tips to give you. I didn't freeze the frame on that video to read it.
Well, I guess what he's saying is that can you at least expand upon what you know about that stuff because it's already been put out there? I think that's what he's saying.
I see.
A little devil's advocate. Like, I don't know if that is. He's
Got
saying,
it.
Hey, guess what? I found a loophole for you in your NDA. So they've already put this on the internet. So now please spend the next 25 minutes talking about Ryoichi and samurai armor.
I know if you jump and press the circle button when you have Ryoichi's power, you do the ninja spire jump, which was some of the most... The whole Japanese section of the first Sly game was some of the hardest I'd ever spent in a booth. Ryoichi, I mean, you read the word. It doesn't... Yeah. They don't try to spell it like the word Ryoichi. R-I-O-C-H-I.
There's
like
another I in there.
R-I-O-C-H-I, isn't it? It's like Rio... Ichi.
R-I-O-I-C-H-I.
Yeah, give me a break. That looks like anything other than Ryoichi. And then Ninja Spire Jump. Try to say that.
Ninja Spire Jump.
Right.
Make it sound like I'm performing.
Yeah, so I learned the Ninja Spire Jump.
You're hitting that S really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
But just have fun with it. Just have fun with it, but don't hit that S so hard.
Sweating.
You look hot, but this is a cool environment, so if you could just find that cool place in there.
Okay,
all right, give it to us again. Ninja Spire
Jumps. Ninja Spire Jumps.
Breathy. We're getting a lot of... Take a sip of water. Cleanse the palate.
Perilous.
Have fun with it.
Perilous Welsh Triangle. That was another one. The Perilous Welsh Triangle. Nate Fox, God love him, why he put that in the script. We've never talked about it. I should have asked him when we had him on the show. Why he did that. Why he didn't write that and try to read it out loud. Perilous White Welsh. I can't even say it now. I've been saying it for 10 years. Try it.
Wait, say the word again.
Perilous Welsh Triangle.
perilous Welsh triangle.
Yeah, you have
you
to
can't,
like,
without. Yeah, you can't just throw like peril.
You can't
yeah,
just
you
say
can't
it.
Just say it.
You can't
perilous Welsh triangle.
You can't say like you know the perilous.
You
fall
mean
of
I'm
going
to go to the perilous Welsh triangle?
Yo, there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you
I
have
hit
to like
P too hard.
You have to. Oh, it's so hard.
You mean I'm going to go to the perilous Welsh triangle?
Nice mic turn.
Yeah,
good
right.
technique, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome, people. That I just talk into your ears for free for so long.
I'm going to take off my polo.
Let's see.
You got this fort? Here we go. I'm offline.
Oh, he was kidding. He was serious. I was like, what? You're taking off your shirt? I didn't know he had an undershirt. I thought
layers.
Things were about to get real sexy in here.
Two layers.
There's a lot of lady gamers that are jealous. Me is mine. You keep your hands off of her. Let's see. This one comes to us for
what
Christina. She said, I recently just listened to your new podcast. You mentioned my sister's email. LOL. That was awesome. Did you guys enjoy Scott Pilgrim versus the World? It was awesome. On one of the next podcasts, could you talk about the most annoying celebrities and explain why? Why? I think that would be something hilarious you two could chat about. Well, the name's Christina, and have a good day. Who is the most annoying celebrity?
Oh, I wanted to say I loved Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, we talked about
that. Did we talk about it?
Yeah, you saw it, and then we talked about it for a while. It was a great movie.
Oh, so great.
It's a good movie.
Apparently, there's a comic book, which I was stupid not to guess
that.
So
I just knew that there was. It's based on a game from back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like an 8-bit game or something like that.
Funny.
I think a Nintendo game or my, I don't know. Somebody's
annoying celebrities. Celebrities. That lady that talked about how dumb video games are.
Oh, Kathy Lee Gifford. Oh, man. Talk about swinging for the fences. Miller.
Yeah.
Just hit it right in the fat part of the bat on that one. Jesus.
Right?
That was awesome. Yes. Well done. That's enough on that. This one comes to us from Peter. It says, hey, guys, what is up?
Peter.
Before we get this email rocking, I want to clear some things up.
First of all, his name's Peter Clark. How have we never noticed that he's Peter
know.
Parker and Kent and Clark Kent.
Kent? And he's into comic books, as we will find out. I did not type the page online wiki about Shark Jesus, but I will still accept Mr. Rubber Ducky. Kevin, the mix of characters in Kingdom Hearts is Disney and Final Fantasy. Kevin,
I think
you would really like Kingdom Hearts because it is an action RPG and is just badass. Okay,
no.
Now I'm just going to ask questions. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. And type other stuff. Kevin, when I said beating Uncharted 1 was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
You doing okay over there, Justin?
I'm just giving it emotion.
Okay.
He's got a perilous Welsh triangle he's building in this email.
Hey, nice work. You should have been Sly.
Did you read
for Sly?
No.
They didn't have you read for it?
No.
Did you read for anything in
he
the Sly?
He was not a character of color.
Oh.
That is what Justin
Wait, no,
does.
Seriously, they didn't have you read for it at all?
Oh, no.
What did you read for in Sly?
Nothing.
Nothing? Not a Bentley or anything? I think you're wrong.
I think I'm right.
All right.
There was a time there that, I don't know. Were you already working in the office then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were in the other building.
There was a time then, if you were in the building, I got called in for one thing when you first went into the
really?
New building, and then that was it. I never got called in for anything after that.
Dark days. Dark
That's
days.
All right. I meant video game wise. I'm only 13, so I can't pick up girls. Oh, really?
I forgot you were reading. I was like, what are you talking about, man? That was a very weird moment for me.
Were you guys picking up girls at my age? Hell yes, we were, Peter.
Yeah.
We were laying pipe. I don't know what that means, but that's what I was
doing. Oh, really?
I was helping my dad with his landscaping business. I was laying PVC pipe and sprinklers.
You know more about contract than I do. I know the term laying pipe. I was going to educate you. You see, Justin.
Well,
you want to build a house. I did not have much moxie, but by 13, by 7th grade, I had a girlfriend. Come on. Jessica Bontanelli.
I was no...
Redheaded Italian girl.
Listen, I don't want this to come across as mocking, Peter. That's not the intent of this at all. It doesn't mean that you don't have any mojo or anything like that. Here's what I've noticed. And ladies, listen. Any guy who's
serious
very...
music, I don't have an app for this.
An app to follow the emotional tone
exactly.
of Justin's
I just need,
random tantrum.
I need
tantrum.
Faders with different music running.
Let me explain this to you, ladies that are listening to the show. You've got a nerdy edge to you, and maybe you've already picked up on this, but just to drive it home, if you see a young, strapping 13-year-old young man like Peter Clark, you know, sifting through his amazing Spider-Man number 7 because that's his gem of his collection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding.
You see him sitting
there.
Does
he have that?
No, probably not. Oh. But you see him sitting there, or maybe he's looking at it digitally on his iPad, or I don't know how he rocks, you know, what he's got going on, but I don't know why I turned into Jesse the Body Ventura
Don't
all
stop.
Of a sudden.
Don't stop.
But here's what you do. I need you to go up to this young man, and I need you just to plant one right on his puss right there, just in the kisser, just lip to lip, you know, just get messy with with him and just rock his frickin' world. I used to have a joke about this in my stand-up act, and and here's what I'm saying, is that a lot of guys, ladies, they like the bad guy. They like the jock. Yeah. No, negative. That is a bad move, okay? Yeah.
Unless
because there's nothing that's going to be just fill you with self-confidence is when you just go up and just drop some tongue on a nerd looking at a comic book outside a library and have him just go, oh I love you. That's what's going to make you feel good.
No, wait a minute here.
I'm sorry, what happened?
You've had nothing but sons, so you get to say that. But had you had daughters, would you tell them to go walk up and tongue some stranger that's geeking out over a Spider-Man comic?
A nerd guy, yeah. Because, well, here's the thing. I would have one.
What? That's pretty slutty.
No. No, not. It's not slutty to a nerd.
Does she know him?
Because here's the thing.
Does she know him? Have they had conversation?
Yes.
Okay, well, you need to include that.
What?
Because it makes it sound like you just see a stranger doing something you find attractive.
My daughter. I'm not talking about these slutty chicks that listen to this show.
The views of Justin Warsham are not necessarily the views of the Second Buddy's.
You don't build those out, are you?
I know. Okay. I got all sorts of material now.
So, well, honestly, what I'm saying is that if I had a daughter, I would push her towards it. I'd be like, listen, you want to find the nice, calm, timid guy because here's what's going
to
happen.
But see, that's not what you just said. You just told all these girls to go make out with some nerd.
Yes, because I had it happen to me one time.
Oh, now tell that story.
I had it happen
Double
to me.
Double click on that.
Where I was joking. I was doing a, but I don't know if I could qualify as the nerdy guy. I was more the clown than I was nerdy.
You were the theater kid, weren't you?
Yeah.
You get the leads in all the musicals at your high school.
So
come on.
I was nerdy in that sense. You know what I mean? I wasn't.
Theater geek.
Exactly. But I wasn't like, I'm talking about just a nice, like passive guy. Like if you're a lady, you got a look to you. You know what I mean? You're bringing the swagger. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you come up to a dude. Like I was doing a bit in the back of this chick's Ford Escort. And the year was 1995, I believe. So I'm sitting in the back seat of the car and I'm doing this bit with her. She's dating my best friend, right? And I'm like doing, winking at her. I'm raising my eyebrows, giving her the bedroom eyes, the smolder, as my son has taught me from Tangle.
He's three.
And all of a sudden, we drop off our friends. Everybody gets out of the car. She turns around, grabs my hooded sweatshirt, because that's what Daddy rocked fashion-wise then, pulled me in close, smacks one right on the lips, and it felt amazing. It wasn't even like movie-wise where our lips connected, but just the pure, unadulterated, like she couldn't resist me. I'd never known what that felt like. And just boom, right there, just laid one on me.
But I will maintain that you were in relationship before then. Like it wasn't a stranger.
Her and I?
Yeah.
She was a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is...
Your point is be aggressive.
Yes.
But don't...
And defense.
And the best offense is a good defense. Go for the strong nine. We're going to play it in. Go no offensive
110% through all. There's four quarters in this game for a reason.
God
play until the fat
possible.
Lady sings so the gun goes off. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
All right, everybody take a knee.
I'm already on my knee,
Hit the ground.
All right.
You don't sit on your helmet. It's not a chair. Every Pop Warner quote.
I agree with what Justin's saying to a degree about the forcefulness. I think it's got some color to it. I think it's got some drama to it.
It's hyperbole for the sake of a show.
But I will just couch it with do it to a guy that you know. But definitely if you're... The point, but this was Peter that needed advice. You're giving now ladies advice.
Right, because here's what I'm saying, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to establish an ecosystem of action towards...
You are upsetting the natural balance.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be
I'm
too
doing.
Much algae in that tank.
Yeah,
of the shrimp
I'm an African
die.
Killer bee arriving in North America. That's
your
what I'm
analogy
doing.
Your analogy was much more adept.
I missed yours. I'm sorry.
No, yours made sense. I was doing like a 10-year-old reference that 80 people maybe knew about. There were these things. Remember, they were really popular, little ecosystems that they sell that had shrimp, algae, and snails in them, and then and the balance.
So you're the kind of guy that needed to get kissed when you're...
I was in college. I drooled over these things. They were everywhere in like 1998. You don't remember this?
No, I don't.
And they
I would, if I saw it, I would be into it, though.
They were like a little bowl or different types, but the cool ones were just in a sphere on their own, and you didn't have to feed it or anything. You just made sure it had light and water when the water started to evaporate, and it had shrimp, algae, and snails, and they would, because of the ecosystem that naturally happens between those three things, they would just... Sometimes you'd have a ton of shrimp, sometimes you'd have a bunch of snails, sometimes you'd have a lot of algae, and it would just take care of itself.
Then, that or the killer bees.
Do we have another email from Peter?
We haven't finished Peter's.
Oh, sorry.
I'm saying that, though, that if we create an environment where ladies, you know, come up to you and they just go, hi, how are you?
Do you watch Parenthood?
Because here's what I... Hold on. Let me say this, too, because I think that here's the other vibe, is that a lot of the nerdy ladies, you know what I mean?
All the nerdy ladies, all the dirty ladies.
Why do we not have that song made? Let's
get to work on that.
He can make they see me rolling, yeah. My segue, you know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, a lot of the nerdy ladies, they think they don't look, you know, but here's the thing. We talked about this a little bit with Comic-Con, is that the nerdy ladies have a little bit of, like, the confidence of their sassafras that they're
like
bringing
Star Trek
to the table, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And what nerdy ladies don't understand is that ladies are always appealing to dudes. Some level of ladies, but not the jocks. See, there's a reason why the jockey guys that are the quarterbacks of the football team are belong with the cheerleaders, because there's a little superficial aspect to it. But if you walk around the high, like, I don't know if you're probably not in high school yet, Peter, but next year when you get to high school, sooner or later, you're going to see two kind of gothy, nerdy people, like dudes in a trench coat. Yeah. He's got an overbite, you know what I mean? And he's got some chick, maybe she's got a little bit of pimplage going on or whatever. And they are swallowing each other's faces next to a locker like you wouldn't believe. The amount of passion being exuded between these two youngsters is just amazing. And that's what I'm talking about. There's not that hang up. So ladies, don't worry about what you look like. Mm-hmm. It looks great.
Yeah.
All right. Go on up to a fella. Say hello. Give him a little kiss. Let them know what you mean and what you need.
This is George W.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, the show Parenthood. You watch it?
Yes.
So this season, they're giving the oldest son, the oldest son, something to do again. It's always a romantic storyline for him. And if you don't watch the show, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But he's this real shy kid, and he starts to be into this ridiculously attractive young girl.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she is unnecessary. There's no way she's in high school.
Yeah.
She's so pretty. And so she keeps throwing herself at him, just like putting herself in these situations where he's an absolute fool.
At one point, he tries to kiss her and he panics and leaves.
He's like, I should get you some aspirin or something. I mean, it's great. It's great writing. But I turn to Kat and I go, this is unrealistic that this hilarious, I mean, she's very funny, super hot girl would be into this guy. He's kind of good looking, but he's a total sheep. And she says, well, some girls are into that. And I said, into what? She said, shy.
Yes.
It's a type of guy that some girls
and
like.
To me, it's the better choice, because if you... you're right. There's a kind of guy. We're not talking about video games at all. We need to button this up. But anyway, my point is this.
Yeah, I bet it's more important.
So my point is that I guess to me, what the metaphor, I guess, of that moment is that let's use her perception. You know what I mean? From his perspective, is that she looks that way. But in actuality, I think in real life, like that same thing happens. Like, for instance, there was a girl when I was in high school that I was way, way into. She was a year older than I am. And honest to God, I thought I was going to marry this chick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is the one. And I remember, like, I made an excuse to drop off her copy. My dad shot the musical, and I made dubs of
it. Yeah.
So I dropped it off at her house. I dropped hers off first, and I was like, I think I'm gonna ask her out on a date. Like,
oh, I thought you could ask her to marry you.
No.
You come over, you're like, here's your CD.
But this, you know what I mean? Like, I hit that point in my life, and I know that I'm different than everybody else, and I'm not saying high school people should be looking for a spouse. I'm just saying that in my mind, I was like, you know what? I've dated a weird chick. I've had my fling where I was the victim, and you know what I mean, kind of thing. And I just felt like, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to find a nice, safe girl that just, like, I wouldn't even be on my radar. And, like, I'm not seeking out, but just looks on paper.
You're
makes
so
sense.
Lucky to only go through that through high school. You're describing, I don't know, every day of my life in my 20s.
So I go up 30s. To this chick, and I give her the video, and I said, hey, I was wondering, would you be interested, I don't know, going to dinner and a movie with me? And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And she said, yes. And when she said those words, yes, oh, my gosh, I become like that kid in that moment. I tripped and I fell. I'm not kidding. Adorable. I tripped and I fell. Again, yes, she thought it was adorable. I thought I looked like an asshole.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So I do think that there is a little... Now, what I'm also saying is that, because I think that girls like shy, but I think on some level, too, there are a lot of girls who like a man who's like, listen,
absolutely.
I'm going to take control. I got things handled. You know what I mean?
And that's what I learned. It took me so long. I hope God gives me sons so I can teach them that they don't have to be afraid. Because there's a difference between being shy that comes from like modesty or wanting to be appropriate. And then there's like this debilitating awkwardness, this cowardness. Yeah. Because when I learned that all you have to do, is if a girl looks you in the eye and smiles when she has a conversation with you, you. That's all the permission you need to say, hey, you want to grab a coffee?
And take off your shirt. Am I right? Am I right?
You and I
had another moment in high school.
Very different. So that, if you take anything away from this conversation that has gone on about 8 minutes longer than it should have, that we are both saying this. If a girl looks at you and smiles when she talks at you, you can ask her out.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, eyes up, Peter. Yeah. Eyes up, look around, look for some teeth and some pupils, and then boom, make your move. You got
eyes up.
Unless you're, and here's the other thing, too. A lot of this is for joking, but in all seriousness...
I haven't been joking once. I don't think I've told a single joke in this entire episode.
But my point is that... Here's the other thing, is that there also are people out there that are 13 that aren't into people. Like, I wasn't into, like, kissing. I wasn't overly sexualized, but... I was definitely into relationships.
Yeah.
I needed to have a friend or a companion, and I really would like it if they were the opposite sex.
I think that's good to say. You don't, if you don't want a girlfriend, you don't need a girlfriend. You don't want to go out with a girl, you don't have to. If this is something you're agonizing over, then these have been good tips for you.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Peter. Like, say you're what people may call or joke as a slow developer. I keep saying this to Peter. This could be any one of our listeners.
It could
be
Sam.
Yeah, right? Cut to Sam in his banana hammock and a leopard print heart-shaped bed. Like 14 teenage girls, like, welcome to my Halloween party.
Wait, isn't Sam
nothing on but a sweater vest and a banana hammock?
I thought Sam was like 22. Is he not?
Oh, is he not? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
In my mind, I thought it was funnier if he was 13 too. Like, I think he's probably like in the teens though. I don't think he's in his 20s.
Oh,
but if he's in his 20s, he should find some girls that are.
Yeah.
No, but anyway,
14.
But anyway, my point is that if you wait even longer, like until you're a little bit older, and then start, you know, hanging out with you, it's a lot easier. And it's a lot better, like, on all levels, whether it's physical, emotional, everything, because everybody kind of has a better idea of what they're doing.
Exactly. And dating when you're 13 is a little like having preschool graduation. It's cute, but there's really no point.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, well,
that was my problem, is I've always had this thing where it sounds condescending, but it's just, it isn't. Like, I don't look at it as a great thing. I've always had this thing where I felt like I was a little bit beyond, my expectations were a little bit beyond my peers. And so, like, you are the only friend that I have that is not in their 40s, that I hang around with on a regular basis. All of my other friends are in their 40s. Well, I think it's because you and I are of a similar, like, we have similar interests. Yep. But most people that are in their 30s, even especially down here, can sometimes have a little bit skewed interests. Like, I'm 32 years old, and I have two kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is unheard of in Los Angeles.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, that's...
In the circles you're running.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure that they are here, but you know what I mean? But I still think it's not prevalent.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So that's... I just feel... And that was the same way in high school. I liked hanging around with people that were older, not because I thought it was cool, not because I could drive a car, but just because I thought I had something to learn from them. Like, that... It was stupid. Now I'm babbling. But anyway, let's move on.
This has been the JK Show.
Justin, I'm going to say, yeah, right? That's a flat flashback to the past. There you go.
Remember,
episode 17. Justin, I'm going to say this one more time. What's your opinion on Sam Raimi's Spidey movies? Unfortunately, Peter, we spent so much time on the other part of your email. I don't have time to answer that. Luckily for us, it's your last time asking. So I don't know why. Did I not say this?
I still don't know what
he's
talking about.
I like them. I don't hate them. I don't love them. I like them. There you go.
Great.
I'm not mad at you, Peter. I love you.
Peter, we talk about you all the time.
Have you guys actually ever eaten at KFC? I have. It's horrible.
Who hasn't eaten at KFC? What kind of question is it?
Vegetarians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they have the double
down. You know what I haven't tried that I want to try is the thing that looks like a debacle, but everybody says tastes
the double
amazing.
Down.
No, the bowl.
Oh, yeah. The bowl looks great.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a debacle. I saw that. I'm like, I'd eat that.
Really?
I was like, I'll make that at home.
It looked like vomit in a bowl to me, but everybody's like, it tastes delicious.
No, I believe it. It's a shepherd's pie with chicken. You can't go
wrong. Oh, that's a good point.
You can't go wrong.
And yes, Kevin, when I heard about Amazing Spider-Man, I was in nerd rage. Should I make my email shorter, longer, or the same? If longer or the same, I should have a theme song. Last question, finally, do you like Eminem, Peter? So let me read this again. Should I make my email shorter, longer, or the same? If longer or the same, I should have a theme song. So shorter then, because I'm not giving you a
theme. And furthermore, you need to make them shorter because we just spent like 20 minutes on one question.
I think because his are kind of good. They set
He's
up
always
a
been
bit.
Good at him.
Yo, guy, it is Peter, the level 12 Troshi champion on PSN. Just wanted to ask something. How long do you guys think you will be doing the podcast? Hypothetically speaking,
there it is.
In the future, when you guys are a lot famous in the internet realms, are you guys still going to answer emails? Hell yes, we will. It's become a bigger part of the show than we anticipated.
Absolutely.
I think it's still fun. We're figuring out right now. Like, it took us 3 years, I think, to get our legs on what we wanted the show to be. And now we're kind of getting our legs on how to work out these emails and still do a show. Because right now the show is heavily emails, which I think can be good. But we got
to
figure out.
Here's what I think about it, is that it's very kind of you to think that we'll be famous. We'd love to be famous, but Justin and I are both emotionally intelligent enough to admit that this probably will never be the biggest thing on the internet. We'd love it to be, and we will continue to work at it.
It will be if we continue because of the attrition, I think. if we just hang around longer than anybody else. Yeah,
exactly. When no one's
like
listening.
Ham
radio. I'm the biggest ham radio star.
Exactly.
Nobody's on that.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be us.
I've got more friends than anybody on MySpace right now.
We do this. We do this because it's fun.
Yeah.
So as long as it's still fun, we'll still make an email. We'll still make a podcast in the living room.
How much time do you guys, Justin, spend on the Facebook wall? I spend next to none.
None?
Yeah, I try. When I have a moment, I do. Like if I
was gonna say, because I've seen you post stuff here and
there. Yeah, but it's not.
It always surprises me when you do, because I was like, what? Oh yeah, right. Sorry, Justin does it too.
Because it shows our logo. Yeah. I try to put Justin at the end, so it says.
You posted something like a video or something earlier.
Oh, and, I don't think it was a video. I'm not that guy. I will comment on what other people say, like if I like it, because it's. It's just hard. I'm not good at having two kids, so I don't want you guys to think I don't like
you. Got games to play, otherwise you're completely
That's the other
irrelevant.
Thing, too, because I feel like if I just spend time on the Facebook page, the little time that I have, I usually spend playing video games so that I have something to talk about when I come here, you know?
For me, Facebook, I very rarely use it for personal stuff anymore. Like, if I go on Facebook, I just look to see what friends are doing. I don't make my own self-righteous comments about what I ate for dinner. I could care less. Really, I don't think anybody cares what I had for dinner.
No.
But then I'll go to the SFP page and see what everybody's talking about. Try to stir the pot, get us talking about something. So I'm on there daily.
Yeah, I know you guys probably already discussed this, but can I have Mr. Rubber Ducky? I don't care.
No.
Okay. Evidently, we haven't discussed it, and we need to. Guys, who's the faster
runner? We have a contest for that.
Superman or the Flash? Because I've heard many times Superman is faster, but the Flash is supposed to be the fastest. Well, what we need to do is we need to get somebody over at DC to write a book about the race between Superman and the Flash, and then the answer will be decided.
Hmm.
I don't think it's ever been said, like, oh, here's the time and here's the time.
I think they have. I think that's his
point. Really?
We should ask Jordan. My guess is that Superman is faster, but the Flash, only has
is
that
it
one
Jordan's
power.
Twitter name, J-Dobbs Rosa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So send J-Dobbs Rosa a message on Twitter asking him.
But here's the thing.
Tell him you came from the Second Funniest Podcast, because that'll make me laugh what he says to you.
Here's why I think you don't know the answer, or any of us do off the top of our head, is because Superman, like Batman, have a defined character. I could sum up both of those characters' personality in a sentence or two. I don't know what the Flash is all about. Like, who cares what
I did
Flash...
like the TV show. Do you remember the TV show?
The TV show was great, the 90s TV show.
So angry,
but it was still like generic vanilla hero.
Yeah,
Superman has a thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's bent on something.
Flash is built to be a supporting character.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know what his deal is. So therefore, like, I know who's the better detective between
like
Superman
Hawkeye
and Batman.
Is another good example where there's certain aspects that just don't make him like, why do we not know everything about this? Where does he stand on macaroni and cheese? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you could talk to Batman and Superman and understand very specifically their desires,
how they would
and
deal with the problem.
For macaroni and cheese.
What an interesting choice. Why macaroni and cheese? Why not something?
It was
relevant?
The first thing that came to my mind.
I applaud that.
All right. We all know who's the fastest swimmer. Shark Jesus. Can Shark Jesus fly? Shark Jesus is not interested. I think, as many of you know, followers of this blasphemous talk, but Shark Jesus does not believe in swimming or flying. He thinks that we are all doing what we should be doing when we are doing it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that those who do not swim in the sea are like Satan's creed or something.
What he say? His point is to say that a fish should not worry about flying if he is not meant to fly.
No.
He is doing what he should be doing, I think is what... That's just my interpretation.
It's actually biblical.
I don't claim to be... Well, he is Shark Jesus. He's not, you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny because the Bible, the reference in the Bible where Jesus makes that same point, he uses an illustration of ravens and lilies. This is a raven does not worry for a place to live. A lily is dressed beautifully in the field, and it doesn't have to make its own clothes. And how much more important are you to God than ravens and lilies? And you're doing just fine.
It's interesting because Shark Jesus does believe that lilies are the lowest form of flower, though.
Here I thought I said something that you found interesting. Hook, line, and sinker. Moving on.
Once again, hello, Justin and Kevin. Yeah, that's right. I said Justin first, pioneering like a boss. Anywho,
spell boss.
Response to Kevin. Yes, I've seen Little Miss Sunshine, and I loved it. And no, I'm not colorblind. Also, Justin, the Facebook wall post was who could arson better? Peter loses by default. I don't remember what I said. I'm sorry. My question this time around, what is your opinion on customization within games? I myself enjoy being able to customize aspects of my character or weapon. Do you think it's a good idea in context of letting the player make the game their own? Or do you think it adds too many variables in development time? Also, I hope to get some aspect with customization for Sly 4, but I know an NDA was signed, so I'm going to smoke a cigar and wait like a pioneer.
Did you make that part up?
Nope, he said it. I gave it flair.
It was
That's
good.
All I did, but he wrote it. Let's talk about that, because I don't think...
Well, I'm trying to think of the most customizable game I can think of is Gears of War 3 in terms of development, outside of, like, I don't know, Spore, Galaxy Creation... Or the Spore Galaxy, Galaxy Quest. What's like a heavily customizable game?
What's one that? Like for me, what I like
Little Big Planet 2.
Yes,
but there's no
Mod Nation Racers.
I think that helps. Those user generated content games. That's a different thing. Like the point of all those are for you, the player, to actually give us free material. So instead of us paying a squad of talented artists, we're going to let the entire world develop.
It helps in
the
aspect
cream will
of
rise
development
to the
time.
Yeah, because it's like I don't have to develop nice stuff. I'm going
to
give you
I
the
just
tools
to build an engine,
and the people that understand a story or understand color design or whatever it is, they'll apply their skills just naturally because they'll be interested in it. So why YouTube works, you see. People just make these great movies for free, and YouTube rakes in all the dough. But if it's an, I can't think of an area in which customizability would actually lower or like take longer in development.
Well, I was trying to, one of the games that kind of frustrates me a little bit was I got a little frustrated with Mod Nation Racers because I just wanted to play the game and I wanted my car and my guy to look the way I wanted to look.
Right.
And then there was another thing, but I kind of like the idea in like the wrestling games, like the WWE versus Raw. Like I love being able to make my own guy and make him crazy, abnormally huge and all that stuff. And I like the character builder in DC Universe Online. I thought that what they did was really smart and that they gave you a template. Like, if you're like, hey, I like Green Lantern, here's a guy that looks like Green Lantern. And then it lets you tweak small little things within
Or you can start from
or
scratch.
Or you could start from
but
scratch
everybody
and
has
a guy
that
like
ability.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. When I was into Madden back in the day, I would just sit and create football teams. I never actually played any games.
He would create uniform
designs. I would just create the uniforms. So there's a little bit of aspect to that. But I cannot think of an area like that what would... Outside of, I mean, maybe like a role-playing game like World of Warcraft or something where the armor that you wear is customizable, but also part of the game engine, so it has to be balanced. But even, like, so the mechanics don't mess things up, but those are two different things. I know skinning takes a long time, so like if you build a lot of different armor sets or a lot of different costumes for your character to wear, that's why you look at like the Xbox, and there's really only one t-shirt with a bunch of different colors on it. So that lowers, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that makes it easier for them to design. But if they did a bunch of that, I could see that being, like that would draw development time.
See, to me, I think like, the only part, like, and maybe I'm overreading into his question, is that if, let's say, I think that the crux, the real, like, the pie, if we're going to slice up pieces of pie, the crux, in my opinion, of what should be spent on making a game should be the story and the characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Secondarily should be, like, gameplay and what kind of cool things can you get me to do and let me do and all that stuff. And then beyond that, it should all be, like, so if we go into a game and we're saying, okay, here's what's going to make our game. Completely customizable characters. We are going to spend 80% of our time making completely customizable characters. I feel like, well, then what are we going to do with these people that we can completely customize?
I don't know. I think you could see that that would be useful. I could see why that would be, like, what goes
I'm
in the box.
I'm not saying there isn't a market for it. I'm just saying, in my opinion, that is not a game that I'm going
to
purchase.
But I'm saying, like, what...
Like,
what
Little Big Planet has no draw to me.
Then that's what I mean? Was going to say, is that that game makes money. So the people do, you and I,
I'm saying
they
do exist. Yeah. I get it. But in my opinion, you know what I mean?
What draws you to a game? Because, I mean, what do you going to put on the box? Like in Portal 2, they made that joke, did you play through the director's commentary side of the game at all, or listen
a good chunk of it. I don't know if I did all of
it. Well, they talk about the door that they open up in when you finally get into the underground layers is mm-hmm. so giant that they actually joked about putting on the box to Portal 2 featuring the largest door in all of gaming history. Because the thing is giant, really. You lose perspective on how big it is. And so what would go on the box, create your own generated, you know, fully customizable character. I could see that being like top three things you could put on a game.
I guess, too, what I think, though, when you just said that, I was thinking about Portal. I'm like, well, there's no real customization in it at all.
Except for that you have a different type of customization. In fact, you have the ability to put those portals
wherever.
What feels like forever.
Yeah.
And when you play that game, I feel like I'm cheating sometimes because mm-hmm. I'm like, I can put that portal on that wall and put it over here, and I can end up over there.
Yeah.
Do they know I can do that?
Yeah, they do. They play it. The cake is a lie. But it, like, I just feel like if you took everybody's top 10 games, right, and you said, what are your top 10? I don't think that the majority of the people who buy video games are going to put the customization like a Little Big Planet or Mod Nation Racers or anything like that. That's going to peg out in their top three.
You know what I mean? I'd love to find out because I think that it does because I enjoy customizing in a game.
And like Red Dead Redemption, though, it was a little bit disappointing. But see, there's it's hard because it's a little disappointing that I can't make my own cowboy. You know what I mean? But I do also like the idea that that you kind of rise through the ranks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of
cool.
You're
talking about the online... The multiplayer. The multiplayer, yeah.
The multiplayer. In the campaign, I would never want to make my own character.
Yeah, right.
You know? But, and then there's moments of like, you know, when you do those kinds of games, like when we did the Uncharted 2 on the game day and stuff like that, and you have... you're all playing basically built-in characters within mm-hmm. the game. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I could make my guy kind of different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But... So I get that desire, but would I sacrifice that for anything else that I enjoy in a game? Personally, no.
Probably not. Yeah. Not for you, but I think that it is part of like that desire to... Cause we're submerging ourselves into the story when you play, like that Sony commercial. It's all about Michael. Michael made it so that we could do these things, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to take that... I want to be able to completely apply... I like the color pink, so I want my character to be all pink.
That's true. You can't say if there's any customization for Sly 4, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for reading your email, and I'm going to listen as much as I can from basic training come June, so tell Peter to shorten the damn emails. Thanks, Ken. You guys make my Tuesdays, soon to be Wednesdays.
Where are you doing basic?
It says here, Longrod von Hugendong. Wait, just kidding. He got me. Your resident future special forces Sly Cooper enthusiast, Ryan. I think this is Ryan he was talking about. I think he's going into Navy SEALs.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, where's basic for that? Or can you tell
San Diego. I don't know why people say jump and press the circle button when it's obvious that pressing Alt F4 works much better. I don't get that reference.
Really?
No.
Try it.
Right now?
Yeah. I don't know if you can. You don't have an Alt key.
I do. Alt F4. Blue screen. What? Wait, what just really happened? Something happened, but I don't know what it was.
It closes Windows.
Oh, no. For me, it opens up my preferences. Or
oh, funny. On the PC, people tell them to do that all the time in Guild Wars. Like, oh, how do I do this? Click Alt F4.
Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious. Kevin, do they say QQ in Guild Wars? And Justin, you make me sound like a grade A douche, but seriously, this is my longest season mail, so I'm going to stop before I ramble. Too late, maybe?
No, they don't say QQ.
Insert witty triple I spraining emoticon that looks like a boob or Shark Jesus.
What would QQ be?
I don't know.
In Guild Wars, like people say GG, GG in StarCraft. Good luck. Good game. Like at the end of a game, you'd say good game. GG.
Quit quitting?
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Philip also sent us in a bunch of like best videos or whatever. But it would be not that we enjoyed them. We watched a good chunk of them, but
we
it would be
two.
Too long for us to
we
be.
Watched
I'm going to watch the rest of them because, as we know, I'm in love with Phil. This comes to us from Kennedy. Hi, Justin. Hi, not Justin. This is Kennedy again. Got a couple of things I want to say. So, yeah.
Why are people so mean to us?
I think it's because I've done the bit of it's all about you or whatever. I have to clean cobwebs, as we all know. I've been looking around for SFP Wiki, but actually couldn't find it. So with much consideration, I've decided to make an SFP TV Tropes page. If you guys don't know what TV Tropes is, TV Tropes is a website that catalogs and compares all the shared tropes and themes of different forms of media, and is actually much more informative and easier to make than a wiki page. It's still in beginning phase, so add some things. If you find them, you can find the SFP TV Tropes page here. TV Tropes will ruin your life. Let's see if I can give them more. It's tvtropes.org. Well, let's just put a link on the Facebook. That's easier.
Well, we've linked to TV Tropes before on the page. I put one up a few months ago after we talked about women in games. I put up a whole thing about oversized-breasted characters.
Right, but
fiction.
What he's saying is put a TV Tropes that's... There's a TV Tropes for us.
I was just saying, we don't not know what TV Tropes is, not.
I got it.
QQ means quit crying.
Oh, that's spelled wrong. Justin, when you answered my question about Sly Force humor, you said you couldn't answer it due to NDA. What exactly is NDA? Not dat awesome? Nah, that's a lie. Never die alone? Well, we all have our family, so that's a no. Never drink apple juice. But I like apple juice. How could you, Kevin?
It's non-disclosure agreement. NDA.
Boom.
It
he means, cannot disclose.
Yeah, it means that you've
he
agreed.
He has to keep his clothes on.
It's the secret pact. What's it in Harry Potter? The unbreakable vow. Yeah, if I break it, they sue me.
Justin, Kevin, I listened to an episode a while back and heard that you were both Mega Man fans. Only one of us. I never got into them. Do you guys read the Mega Man comics? They are written by Archie Comics, Sonic the Hedgehog Comics, blah, blah, blah. I've always been into it. I think he's just talking about Mega Man franchise. Yeah, I think that's it. I think I should make my email shorter. Just
don't worry. I got it.
This makes it feel good. Like it. I'll take the whole episode to finish it. Wait, a whole episode dedicated to me? I kind of like the sound of that.
You're not Peter.
Oh, well, maybe next time. Job top woke up, see, jump and press the circle button. I don't know what all that means.
Off to KFC.
I love
Take
it.
Me to TSB.
I love it. Tori, salutations to Justin and Kevin. We hope this email is refreshing from all the emails you get from Caleb. LOL, LOL, LOL. Just kidding, Caleb's a cool guy.
LOL, LOL.
Brooke, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, that's not there, Caleb. I'm sorry. Brooke and I would like to inform Justin of our plans for creating the Church of Shark Jesus.
Oh, dear God.
Since we know he loves Shark Jesus just as much, if not more, than we do, we plan to hold the service on Wednesdays right at supper time. This is the most inconvenient time of the week, in our opinion. This way, we will divide the real Shark Jesus followers from the fake ones. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's well thought out.
Shark Jesus would agree. He's all about weeding out the weak. It's part of his predatory instinct. Communion consists of drinking cherry Kool-Aid instead of wine and providing shark crackers, which are basically goldfish crackers with fins. However, the communion is BYOB, bring your own bread. We aren't quite sure of the location of the church yet, but we plan on building it with our own hands. Everyone is welcome, and we hope that this encourages people to follow the ways of Shark Jesus. May the fin be with you, Dorian Brooke. That makes me laugh. When I read it the first time,
how do you feel, L. Ron Hubbard? Create your own religion here.
I don't know. I think one of the biggest things that needs to happen is that, just so you know, all of the lady folk will be required to kiss at least one nerdy fellow in the congregation. It's all about pay it forward.
Open your books to the
Thank you, Tori and Brooke, for the very funny email. I like it. Johnny Sanchez. Hey, dudes. My name is John, and I've been listening to you guys since Kevin joined the Sucker Punch forums and told us about the podcast. Thanks for the laughs, guys. No problem. My first question is, since this is October, I was wondering if you guys do anything special for Halloween. For the past 3 years, I try to watch at least one horror film a night, all 31 days. I like that. The only thing we do for Halloween now is Kevin goes trick-or-treating with my kid and I and my wife and his wife. And
we have a good time.
That's
fun. What were you for Halloween?
This year, nothing.
Oh, that's right. You weren't. I was like, oh, this would be great. You were Iron Man. That was last year.
I was
War
Machine.
What's in these margaritas?
I was War Machine.
Fair enough.
I tried to get a Captain America costume because I didn't think my kid wanted me to dress up. The first, and then I was like, he was kind of into it, I guess. So now I've dropped
he was
the ball.
Down. Kat and I were cowboy and cowgirl.
Adorable.
You can decide who was who. But we had a good time. We got a lot of candy. How much candy did your kid get?
He had a little bag, and it was pretty much 3/4 of the way full, which is pretty good for three.
Yeah,
I mean,
not bad.
I carried him on my shoulders a lot.
Do you think we'll go back to Toluca Lake next year?
I don't know. Like, Natalie really likes it,
to be
honest.
She really loves it. I know she does.
There's just a ton of people.
But she likes the houses.
Yeah.
Which is But the people stop you from actually enjoying the houses and the candy.
Yeah.
So, I think it's cool.
I think that instead of going to the big areas where there was really popular.
We got neighborhoods right down here, right?
I know.
By your park.
Well, I'm saying that, remember there was a slow part in the neighborhood there?
Oh, yeah, like
I'm saying get a little bit over that area.
Got it. And away from the giant mansions. I mean, yeah. The money. Some of those houses went so deep you couldn't see it over the curvature of the earth.
Yeah.
But I, on Halloween, every year for the past 5 years have played Guild Wars. Ooh. And those of us who play the Guild Wars know that the Mad King Thorn appears every 3 hours, starting at midnight on Halloween and going till midnight on November 1st. And he shows up for 30 minutes and you play like Simon Says with him and you do different stuff and you get a whole bunch of crazy, unnecessary digital crap.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty fun. Christian and I did it at midnight and sat there on our headphones and just chatted while we played.
My second question is, what are your favorite horror films?
I don't have any.
My favorite horror films are, number one, I Saw the Devil. This film was just so incredible. I have never seen anything like it, but definitely not a film for anyone under 18, LOL. Number two, The Devil's Backbone. It's made by Guillermo del Toro. It's a ghost story. Not really scary, but amazing and so memorable. Number three, The Shining. Who hasn't seen this? Jack Nicholson is amazing.
Is that a horror movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It is... By definition, it has all those elements of the genre, but
horror.
It's not quite gory. You want to say it's more suspenseful.
Well,
right?
I was going to say, because if you pull horror back to that level, which maybe that's where it belongs, that's such a wide scope of things.
Yeah, it is.
Because nowadays, the horror genre is all this, slasher porn stuff that happens. I would love that if The Shining is a horror film, then I imagine Silence of the Lambs could be a horror film. Anything that deals with fear, then would be a horror film. What Lies Beneath, I saw that. I didn't love it, but it still haunts me to this day.
The Chaser, about a detective turned pimp, but one of his girls disappears, so he goes out searching for her.
You've just completely demolished your entire case. How could that possibly be a horror movie?
Let the Right One In, Swedish version. Let Me In, American version. Oh, Let Me In, I really like that one. That's the one where the little girl, the very unique vampire story. Both are pretty much the same, but I think I prefer the Swedish version. I saw the American version. I really enjoyed it.
We were talking about Pet Sematary because we went to the Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle, and we ate so well that the guy said we were Pet Sematary-ing our food. But what weren't they both built, Poltergeist and Pet Sematary, weren't they both built on an Indian burial ground?
Oh, I don't know about Poltergeist, but Pet Sematary definitely.
So what was the thing on Poltergeist then? It wasn't an Indian burial ground?
I don't know. We might have to use like an interweb thing or something like that to find the answer to that.
Pretty sure it was the same thing. And then I want to know if they're like competing things like GoBots and Transformers. It's the same idea, but cheaper.
You know, I did, because I did that Transformers tour.
Yeah.
That they said that in the video, they say that GoBots actually went to market before they did.
Oh.
And they said that the only thing that they felt was going to help them beat out GoBots was the fact that they had developed characters.
Oh.
Like there was a good, there was an evil, like there was that their but characters there was... were more defined than the GoBots, and that's what helped them. And they released comic books to help establish that before, so GoBots went to toys, and then they were in the process of developing a series.
Because there was a GoBots TV show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Transformers couldn't keep up with them and their TV show, so what they did was they said, well, we can get a comic book out there faster. Just to get their characters known, because they felt like their characters were stronger.
Why was that in the air, that everybody's like, you know what's going to hit the market right now?
It was because there was at a toy convention in Japan, they just had these ambiguous toys that said, okay, this one turns into a jet.
Oh,
this one turns into this. And they just, there was no good, evil characters.
It was just a toy.
A robot that turned into a car. And
but
that
people
was it.
Knew that that was
and
cool.
That was all they had. And so one of the guys at Hasbro saw this and was like, I think there's something that could be done with this, but it needs to be taken to another level. That's what they said in the interview I saw. But
that makes a lot of sense. Well, and the GoBots, you would think, would do a little better because they were the size of Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So they were already an approachable... pocket-sized, kid-friendly toy, because you could stick a GoBot in your pocket.
The other thing they said, though, that was different from the GoBots and the Transformers is that the Transformers brought, like, a puzzle aspect to it.
Yeah.
Like, you could see a four-year-old transformed Optimus Prime, and he just knew the moves.
That's
like,
true.
He had memorized it because you had done it so many times and all that stuff.
That's true. And the GoBots are just flip the head, pop out the arms.
This next email comes to us from Daniel. God, Republicans are the worst. Am I right, guys? I don't know. This next one comes to us from Zach. Hey, guys. Justin, Kevin, Zach the Lego Maniac is back. Seriously, that's kind of getting old. If there aren't any other Zachs who email in, I think referring to myself as just Jack should be fine. I disagree. I've been super busy recently. Lots of school stuff. My birthday being happy birthday. Turned 14. Hello.
Hello.
As a result, I haven't been able to listen to new episodes, so I'm not totally out of the loop. Anyway, since this is my return to emailing you guys, this calls for something interesting and pointless questions. For my birthday, I got the new iPhone 4S. What is the app or apps that you can't live without? I'm not that guy.
I wish I had Siri.
I'm not that guy who has all the... I mean, I use...
Carcassonne.
I like Carcassonne. Oh. I like to play Carcassonne. But I don't play a lot of games on my phone.
You,
Natalie really likes Words for Friends. It's the ripoff of Scrabble.
I play Scrabble.
Yeah.
I use two great apps, Notetaker HD and Tootaloo, for work. I think I use those maps more than anything else, but that's on the iPad.
Yeah, everything else I use is just the ones that come standard.
Flipboard on the iPad. I don't have any. What do I love? Oh, here's an app that's free that you'll like, that takes up many hours, minutes. Mega Worm. Get that for your iPhone. That'll make you laugh.
What is your favorite candy? Right now I'm on a Fifth Avenue kick.
Interesting.
It's like a peanut butter Butterfinger.
I thought you were Payday. Wasn't that your old name?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I wasn't angry.
I like any candy that's going to cost more than $3. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a quality guy, not a quantity guy. I want something that's rich and good and made with ingredients that I can read and weren't developed in a lab.
How old were you when you first kissed a girl? Now, this is interesting.
Considering
that you like, what's the intent? You know what I mean? I had a girlfriend when I was in kindergarten, but that's who I was.
That's not really kissing a girl.
I bought her. Yeah. Okay. So like, but then I also had this other girlfriend when I was in third grade. She watched a lot of soap operas with her grandma, and she knew how to kiss a little bit extra. You know what I'm saying? What she would do is she would go European. We were eight.
Wow.
And so we would do a little bit of that business.
Yeah, but I would still, that doesn't even count because that's just mimicking what you see. It's like playing house. You're like, oh, I've seen this, so you should do that. And you know that it's wrong or it's kind of exciting, but it's not exciting for the right reasons.
Then I would say, I think 11 or 12, whenever I started dating Tether Johnson.
Tether Johnson?
Yeah.
I've never heard you say those words together before.
She was kind of like my first like teenage girlfriend, like infatuation And I used to take the bus. It was horrible, though, because she was like, she was a very sweet girl, hearing impaired, so she'll never hear this. That hurt Kevin? That hurt Kevin? What happened?
That was good.
You didn't react like it was good. You reacted like I just killed a puppy in front of you.
A little bit of both. Just a little bit of both. Like a really annoying puppy. I was like, oh, that puppy had it coming.
No, she was a sweet girl. But anyway, the part that was horrible about it was that she was very developed. Like, she easily looked 3 years older than what she was.
Ooh, the special kid that was well-developed.
Yeah,
You know, we had a kid
like
that.
And I wish I could say that that was, like, part of my modus operandi. Like, but I honestly thought she was really funny, and I liked hanging out with her. Like, she was a ton of fun to talk to.
You hope...
She was. I'm not making bits.
She was deaf, though.
No, but she wasn't. Here's the thing. She wasn't complete. I think now she is, I guess, clinically deaf or whatever. But then she had hearing aids that she could read lips really well and stuff like
that. You weren't sitting there wishing she was blind. So you could be like, hey, let's go swimming. I swear I'll close my eyes. No?
No, that wasn't what's happening. No. But I would ride the bus with her to her house because she lived kind of far away from the school.
That's sweet.
And one lady, we were holding hands on the bus, and this one time this lady, like older lady, was like, so cute that you hold hands with your little brother.
Oh, because she looks so much older.
Oh, man, the redness. I must have glown in that bus. Oh, I'm so angry. I've never wanted to kill an old lady in my life.
Oh, man, except for that moment.
Yeah.
I can think of another time.
Me?
Yeah. Oh. Do you have a down volume?
Oh, I didn't want to kill her. I just wanted to hurt her ego.
You know, I remember doing all that stuff like holding hands and kissing and it feeling wrong at that age because I'm like, I'm just too young for all this stuff. But I think the first kiss I laid on a girl was Jessica Bontadelli, redheaded seventh grader.
Great name.
Right, she was good. How many more emails?
She had red hair, you said?
Yeah, she was like a natural redhead because, you know, 13-year-olds were into dyeing their hair, so you had to weed them out.
I deflowered a redhead. That was my first redheaded girlfriend.
Yeah. Wow, and last?
Yeah. Door's still open. Just kidding. What is your? We're gonna do this one, and then we're gonna have to wrap up.
Okay.
What is your weirdest memory from when you were younger?
These are great questions. We gotta wait till next week.
Really?
Yeah. I got lots to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, more on Zach the Lego Maniac. We're going to tease his email. Hope you're okay with that, waiting for 7 days. I'm sure that he's not. But I don't know what else to tell you. Kevin makes the calls here.
That's right.
Speaking of calls, 408-228-4911. Give us an email because you know we're going to spend at least an hour going through them all. Show at secondfunniestpodcast.com. I don't know what else to plug. I think that's it. Oh, Amazon.com.
Christmas is coming.
Wait, did I put that on there? I did. Amazon.com is a sponsor now, so if you're getting your game from Amazon.com, yeah, or you're getting anything Christmas presents, click through the banner at the top of secondfunniestpodcast.com, and we get a little taste. Doesn't cost you anything. All that jazz. So, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Warsham saying,
okay, bye.